Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boghetti and Word Bark Radio.
Hey, Terry, how's it going, my man?
I'm doing well, doing well. It's another beautiful day here on the East Coast, and the pollen is flowing.
It is indeed, man. Can't breathe. Other than that, we're doing real well.
It's really pretty out, and then you see this wave of yellow fly through the air. It's awesome.
Yes, yuck. All right, so the news these days seems to be focusing on the new dog that's living in D.C., that first dog, Bo. So tell me, Terry, how much do you know about a Portuguese water dog?
Well, I know they're a working dog, and I know what that means as far as energy levels. I suspect the garden will be eaten pretty shortly in the White House by Bo.
Yeah. Dug up? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a disaster. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't know a lot. I've seen the breed around. I don't know anybody that's ever had one. You know, I think it's going to be interesting. Hopefully they'll get some training for the dog. Otherwise, they're going to end up with a mess.
Oh, so yes. Here's what I envision. And this is why I recommend that everybody in the White House, all of those Secret Service agents that were ever going to deal with the first family, all y'all take Bo to a positive dog training class. Because for one thing, if that lad does not have a really good recall, which means come when called, what I picture is, Terry just got the picture.
Very visual there.
Bo just got loose and is hauling his butt either all over the White House or all over the White House grounds with Secret Service agents chasing him.
Blue suits, white shirts, and guns chasing the dog. Funny visual.
It is a great visual, and as someone I used to know very well said, 4 beats 2 every time, so get the recall down, Pat. Here's the thing that I did this week, Terry. I kind of looked this breed up on the internet, and yep, they're a working dog, and they need a great deal of exercise, kind of like your herding dogs. That level of exercise, tons of it. It says they can be couch potatoes, but I'm guessing that's when they're about 12 years old. I don't think it's going to happen when the dog is young. They need training. They need socialization. And I hope that that means that the first family will give that puppy play dates with other dogs because they desperately need that.
Hey, we can go. We can take our pooches.
Hey, man. Hey, Siri and Sparky.
Anybody listening that works with the first family, let them know we're up for this. We'll do a little interview. We'll have some play times.
We're right down the road. We'd be happy to come up and visit with y'all. And you're also welcome to come on Bark Radio any old time and update our listeners on Bo's progress.
Absolutely.
One of the things everybody needs to remember when you have a young dog in your home, they tend to think children are their litter mates, and they can play really, really rough with kids. So, again, think about this. It's training the kids about how to play with the dog, as well as how teaching the dog how to play with kids, and giving them really good options rather than chewing on the first child.
That's probably not where you want to go.
Probably not. So, at any rate, what I fear will happen, Terry, is what happens so often when a fairly unknown breed is suddenly in the spotlight. Fast forward a year, and I worry that there are going to be hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of Portuguese water dogs in shelters all over this country because people went out and got one because they thought it was fashionable, and that puppy hit 6 months old, 9 months old, and they decide they have too much dog, and they turn them in somewhere. That's my worry.
Yeah, and I absolutely agree with that. And people are Obama obsessed because, and we were talking about this over lunch today. I saw a report. It was talking about Michelle Obama and the clothes she's wearing and this type of stuff and how every time she wears something from XYZ company or store or whatever, the next day they're sold out of it because people are just copying
so
everything
guess
she
what?
Does. Yeah.
Same thing is going to happen with that breed dog. And my hope is that because it had been fairly a lesser-known breed, that hopefully since it came to the United States, I believe in the 1960s, the breed has been kept healthy. It's been kept to fewer numbers. And that is going to change because there will be unscrupulous breeders out there who will breed them as fast as they can breed them because they know this is going to happen.
Yeah.
So
yeah, and they're all about the buck, and they'll mark the price up,
right,
ridiculously high, and it's just gonna it's a potential disaster looking for a location.
It absolutely is. So think three times, folks, about the kind of dog that's right for your family, and don't get a breed of dog simply because somebody you admire has that breed. Hello, Surrey. I just got licked by a cattle dog.
Yes. Surrey just came in to say hi.
Hello. Okay, so now what's next on our agenda today, Terry? How about pause to read? Yes, Surrey.
Pause to read. I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, man. Okay, so let's tell the folks about the workshop we went to. And this wonderful organization that is in Wyoming, I believe.
Utah.
Is it Utah?
Yeah.
Okay. And it is called the Reading, it's Reading Education Assistance Dogs.
Right.
So you want to tell the folks a little bit about it, Terry?
Well, I'll tell them my interpretation of what I heard. Okay. Hopefully it'll be accurate.
Alrighty.
The idea is to give the children an opportunity to, one, practice their reading skills, and two, sort of socialize them into a unfamiliar environment so they're a little bit more comfortable social public speaking. Wow, hold on,
like
there.
You, Terry.
Yeah, you can tell I do this right. And it's a type of therapy dog work. I mean, it's you still have to get, you know, certifications, and there's tests you have to take and different type of preparation you need to do, but the idea is that you go to a library or school, and you give some one-on-one time with a child while he or she reads a story to your dog.
Yep, that's pretty much it. And the dogs do have to be registered with one of the organizations in the United States, at any rate, Delta Society, and they prefer Therapy Dogs Incorporated. Although we work as well with Therapy Dogs International. Basically, these dogs, yeah, have to be pretty calm because they have to lie still for 20 minutes or so while a kid reads to them. So, as they were saying in the workshop today, it's sometimes great for older dogs. Also, I think for giant breed dogs. We have folks we hang out with who have Newfoundlands. And a two-year-old Newfoundland, like a couple that we know, would be marvelous at this job because they would just lie at the child's feet and hang out with them.
Happy to do it.
Yep. It's like, pet me occasionally, I'm good to go. If I start snoring, somebody poke me. But it's a wonderful...
That's what I tell my wife. If I start snoring, just poke me.
If it does no good, poke me harder. At any rate, we digress just a skosh. But if you are interested in therapy dog work, certainly, you know, get in touch with the Reed folks. It is just one more way to get our dogs out in the community, like Terry said, into schools and school libraries, and maybe the, you know, elementary school rooms, I'm not real sure. A great way to help kids who maybe are a little bit shy or a little bit behind in their reading skills. How wonderful to be able to read your favorite story to a dog, and all you get for it is a lick. A little doggy kiss. It's just a fabulous concept. So,
it really is a neat idea. Yeah. It does take, I think, to your point, a dog that is either mature or more calm.
Right.
You know, Sparky is probably the one I would start with. Surrey in 5 or 6 years, then we'll look at that. Once she comes down a notch or three.
Well, and even Murphy. Murphy is my 4-year-old chocolate lab, and he's been a therapy dog for 2.5 years. And I'm not even sure if he's right for the pause to read program. I may wait another year or so with him. I'm going to try it at home. I'm going to try creating a space, introducing him to a book on a little blanket on the floor, and just see if he will settle, even at home, for 20 minutes at a time. We're hearing odd dog noises from the other room, so Terry's going to excuse himself briefly to see if someone's into something they ought not be. And if this sounds familiar to you folks,
oh, God.
Oh, I just heard an oh God, this isn't good.
Okay, we're back.
It is about an hour later.
That's been a lot of drama.
Mm-hmm. So folks, when you hear silence followed by crunching and it's only you and the dogs in the house, You might want to go check what they're into. Terry, what were Suri and Sparky into?
Well, on top of our kitchen counter, almost to the back, we had an ant trap. Well, it's a hot shot is what it's called, and it has liquid stuff in it. And I suspect Suri, who has the most creative mind of the two.
And the most vertical lift.
And the most vertical lift. Pulled it off the counter, and when I walked into the living room, Suri had the top half in her mouth, and Sparky had the bottom half between his paws, and they were both pretty happy and proud of themselves for stealing that off the counter.
Yes, indeed. And as you can well imagine, an ant trap has got poison in it. So there was a bit of a freak out there initially, going, okay, is the part with the liquid in it broken in any way?
Right.
Did we get a tooth in there? Have we ingested much of it? And oh, where is the other half of the black lid that was on it?
Yeah.
Because that just disappeared.
Yeah. So the good news is they didn't break the casing of the liquid part. But there's a little pad on top that the ants would, kind of, it's like a sponge. They would get on it. So that could have been licked. But, wasn't broken into, so they didn't ingest much if they ingested any. And the other half of the lid, I suspect, is in Suri's tummy because she's been known to eat, everything at
including
times.
Cable.
Yeah, she's ate fiber optic cable and plastic pots, and she's sort of a puppy.
Yet a year and a half, yes.
Yeah.
So, here's the deal, guys. What do you do when this happens at your house?
Run around screaming with your arms flailing in the air?
Not so much.
Oh.
That's probably...
Damn.
I know. You tried it. It didn't work. So cooler heads prevailed.
Fortunately, Dee was here because I was starting to get a little bit freaked out going, oh my God, oh my God.
Okay, so here's the deal, guys. It's Sunday afternoon. My experience with children and animals is that they never do anything that requires a doctor visit during doctor's working hours. Never going to happen. They always do it at nights, on weekends, or on holidays. And in this case, Terry could not call his regular vet, so I recommended that we call the emergency vet in our town, which is what we did.
Right. And they recommended that we call the ASPCA's poison hotline, which we did, and got phenomenal response, I think. They took down all the information. They have must have an amazing database there because they asked for this regulation code off the bottom of the box, and they looked it up and they knew exactly what was in it and how much, and asked some details about the dogs as far as weight and age and general health, and then took it to a poison specialist vet that's on duty and come back with answers. I mean, it was amazing.
It was incredible. I was put off a little bit when I learned about this service initially because it does cost $60 for each case. But listening to Terry talk to these folks, I was really impressed. I think that it's well worth the $60. He got very specific answers.
Right.
Absolutely down to the nth degree. And for example, they told Terry that this particular kind of ant poison has a very low concentration of poison.
Right.
So if the dogs ingested, boxes of it, it might do them harm.
Right.
But more than likely, the little bit that they might have gotten from that pad isn't going to hurt them. Right?
Right. Exactly.
And all they recommend is, just like with anything like this, keep an eye on your dog. Make sure your dog's not throwing up or getting diarrhea or whatever if they're eating normally. What they recommended was what Terry had actually already done, maybe a little milk in their dog food, but Terry had already given both dogs a little bit of plain yogurt.
Right. First thing that we did once I took a deep breath and Dee hit me.
And we got focused.
Yeah. About 30 seconds into it, I went, okay, let's get him some yogurt. Mm-hmm. It's not going to hurt anything. It'll at least help. It helps something, right?
Yep.
So we got them a bunch of yogurt. They made a bit of a mess, but that's an after effect.
Yeah.
And then got on the phone. So it you got to be quick because from start to finish, from the time we finally started getting answers, was 10 minutes.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And that's the key in this stuff, you guys. Anything that you question, you got to get on the phone with somebody who's an expert, because you don't want your dog sick, you don't want your dog to die, and you getting on Bark Radio's website telling a sad story. We don't want your dogs, that to happen to your dogs any more than our dogs. I love another piece of this. We assume, like Terry said, that Suri's got a piece of plastic the size of a half dollar in her tummy. And they gave great advice on getting foreign objects moving out of the digestive tract of a dog. Terry?
They said to increase its fiber content for about a day and to use a whole grain bread or plain pumpkin. And I'd heard about the plain pumpkin. Our vet told us to do that for anal glands problems where they get a lot of clogs. And we did that with our other cattle dog, Aussie, quite frequently as she got older.
How much did you put in with the food?
A tablespoon.
A tablespoon of plain pumpkin.
Plain pumpkin, unsweetened, just, and it adds fiber and keeps them moving. But in this case, they're saying to give them 3 or 4 slices of whole grain bread a day.
Two or three. For a 50-pound dog.
For a 50-pound dog. See, that's why Dee's here, because...
I took notes.
she's much more organized under pressure than I was.
Well, they weren't my dogs.
Exactly. The role may have been reversed had it been different dogs.
I would have been a crazy woman, you can be assured.
So 2 or 3 slices a day, and that'll help push that out in a natural way and won't cause an obstruction.
Which I think is just fabulous information. I personally had never heard of it. So I think it's just great information. Another little factoid about this poison control line. Terry got at the end of the conversation a case number and a callback number that's toll free. Any questions that he has about this particular case, he can call back and there's no additional charge.
Right. It's a one time charge. Yeah. And for me, you know, if I'd have taken them into the emergency bed, it'd have been way more than $60. Mm-hmm, and this way, at least I know whether I have to take them in.
Right.
And I'm comfortable with the answers I got, and it makes sense.
They were absolutely fabulous, very professional. So, everybody, in the United States, the ASPCA's poison control hotline phone number is toll-free. It is 888-426-4435. I'm going to repeat it, 888-426-4435. That and your local emergency vet, those phone numbers should be on your refrigerator and in your cell phone all the time, right, Terry?
All the time. And that was an interesting thing, because we have the emergency vet number in my wife's phone, and I didn't have it in my new phone, and I haven't moved it there, but it will be in there shortly, right after this episode.
Well, yeah, and guess who's walking around with a cell phone that has all the doggy numbers in it? Me. So exactly. The great thing is, you guys, you got to be here for our first dog emergency on air.
Good,
you know,
Lord.
And it all works out if you act quickly. That's just the key to all of this. So we're just thrilled to death that the pups are fine, and they're going to be getting just some yummy extras food, you know?
Yeah, they'll dig it. Yeah. You know, Sparky doesn't care. He eats everything, so.
Yeah, I got labs at home. I know about that. Well, that should do it for this segment.
Yeah, I think I'm done.
I think we're going to go to cocktail hour. Yeah. We'll catch you all later.
All right, bye-bye.